This is Membercare Media, a ministry of TWR, with some thoughts to help you in your work and daily life. This is a copyright production of Membercare Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.
Could something as ordinary and simple as what appears to be a common dessert snack cause a form of culture shock? Well, let's look at what happened to a young man, very young, just a boy, who had lived most of his life up to that point as an expat child in a country that was far from what he would consider to be his home country, I suppose. Almost nothing in that country seemed strange to him, though. After all, he was raised in it. The food was normal. The sounds and smells, well, they were normal for him, too. The customs of the people seemed normal. And the fact that they spoke a different language than he and his parents spoke in the home didn't seem at all unusual. He can understand quite a bit of it, actually, and even speak some of it. Not bad for a boy his age, but then children have a remarkable talent for picking up languages. Then one day, he and his parents left this away-from-home place that had been home for a while and started a long trip, a normal kind of trip that was and is taken periodically by expats and their families. Some call it furlough or home assignment or some other descriptive name. On the way, they stopped for a visit in a crowded seaport in another country. It was a hot day, very hot, and his parents decided to buy him and themselves a little treat. It was something he had never had before, but this boy was always ready to try a new food, a new taste sensation. However, he wasn't totally prepared for what it did to him when he took his first bite. His first reaction was that it was burning his mouth. You see, he'd never had ice cream before, or anything that cold. Where he had lived, there was no refrigeration, so no ice-cold drinks, no cold desserts like ice creams, so the sensation for him was not of cold, but of burning. And so for a short time, that first taste of ice cream was for him sort of a case of culture shock. A small one. He got over it quickly. As I said, he adapted quickly to new foods, and after a bite or two, he got over his culture shock and enjoyed it. He still does. I know, because I was that boy. And yes, foods can be a trigger point for culture shock for some of us as adults. For a lot of us, we arrive in a new country with years of eating behind us, which has accustomed us to food tastes, food appearances, food textures, food smells, food temperatures, and food sources. We have established in our minds what is normal for food, and we expect that we will find that normal food everywhere we go, anywhere in the world, or at least something close to it. And then we arrive in this new place, and one of the first things we encounter is food that doesn't taste quite like anything we're used to. For some, this is an exciting adventure, sampling new foods, experiencing new flavors and spices. For others, it's a matter of culture shock. Sometimes they get over it fairly quickly, sometimes they don't. A lot of that depends on their own personality and background, and some expats cling with desperation to foods and tastes of home. Like a young lady who moved to a European country, and among other things, she had her mother send her regular mailings of packages that contained a processed cheese spread and some other food items she was used to from home. Yes, she was having major problems with culture shock, and in this case, with the local food. A slight case of adventure would have helped. It certainly could have relieved some of the culture stress she felt because of her perceptions of the food. And this helped to develop into some very strong sensations of homesickness and perhaps some form of depression. But no, to be fair, it wasn't just the food. She did have a difficult time with some other cultural differences. But the food was a constant three times a day thing. So how do you handle that? Well, as I said, developing a small sense of adventure goes a long way to relieving the stress. Explore the local markets and the food stores. Do it often so that the smells and aromas and colors start to become familiar to you. Even just once a week, try a new local food specialty. Remember, one of the rules of entering a new culture? It may be different, but that does not make it wrong. Oh, yeah. Speaking of food-related culture shock, how about the different methods of eating, different ways of using utensils and cutlery, or other objects for transferring the food from the dish of some form to your mouth, or maybe no other objects except your hand? Hey, There's more than one country or culture that considers it quite normal to dig into your dish of food with your hands, or even into a central dish with other hands of others coming from all sides of the table. Culture shock? Yeah, very likely, especially the first time. And in most of these cultures that use their hands as the primary implement for eating, there are sometimes special rules about which hand to use and how the hands are to be used, and from which part of the central dish you're permitted to acquire your food. So you better know the rules. And you know something? It can also be an acquired skill. Without practice, it can prove to be a very messy procedure. Oh yeah, this case is another one where a sense of adventure is a wonderful asset. And a sense of humor, too. Of course, you'd better be able to smile a lot and to even laugh at yourself and your efforts. However, if an expat has a serious problem with food going from hand to mouth, and that expat is expecting to spend an extended time in this culture with these people and their eating habits, then that expat is going to go from culture shock to culture stress very quickly. Oh, an interesting little sidelight here. I did a little research and found that while knives of some form and spoons of various forms do go a long way back, the fork is a relatively new invention. As a matter of fact, according to many sources, the fork didn't come into common use until sometime in the mid to late 1600s, according to our calendar. Before that time, before the fork was invented and adopted, Americans and Europeans nearly always used their fingers at meals, as people in many other cultures still do today. Or they might slice off a piece of meat or other food with a knife, then transfer a piece of the food to their mouth with the tip of the knife. Hey, there's a practice I think isn't without its dangers. Interesting anyway, isn't it? Anyway, back to our expat who has a problem with hand-to-mouth eating. If the problem is a cultural thing, then as I said earlier, developing a sense of adventure would help a great deal. Also, a sense of humor would be a wonderful asset. If the problem is a matter of serious personal concern for hygiene or cleanliness, and this happens to be a very serious concept for this individual, then, of course, washing or cleansing the hands immediately before eating could be a remedy if the facilities are available. In any case, it's likely going to be stressful. I recall one young man who had a problem with a situation like this. He refused to use his hands for eating, and while others picked up morsels in their fingers, he used a spoon. The culture shock of the eating custom was too much for him. Fortunately, his hosts were understanding. Could this be an offensive thing to the host from the local culture? Well, that, I think, would depend on the local culture and how much contact the host had experienced with visitors from other cultures. And here's a question to think about. Does the refusal of an expat to adapt to local eating customs create a barrier to the acceptance of that expat by the local people? And if that barrier is created, is there also a resulting barrier for the good news about Jesus that the expat is bringing? Well, it's something to consider. Are the customs and habits of your personal culture more important to you than building your relationship with the local people and the message you want to share with them? But before we go too far with this, of course, we need to remember that not all local customs are necessarily good. Just as not all local customs of your home country are necessarily good because they're familiar. Again, we come back to that question, is it wrong or is it just different? Hey, don't forget, in some countries, maybe your home country, it's quite normal to pick up a piece of chicken or a slice of pizza or a sandwich and transfer it to your mouth. In another country, this might seem barbaric, and people from that country would consider that such food should only be eaten with a knife and fork. And yes, those cultural differences of how to prepare, present, and partake of food, they're all over the place, and they always will be. The question is, can we adapt? Can we fit in somewhat and somehow? Remember, in Bible times, it was quite common to break off a piece of bread and dip it into the central dish, or scoop out some food in that central dish with a piece of bread. Jesus did this, and that custom is still common in that part of the world. I've been quoting from time to time from a list of things to do to help cope with culture shock and stress. One of the suggestions in that list kind of fits in here. Recognize that some of the frustrations are really very minor items, and don't spend your mental and emotional energy on those minor things. To grab an old expression, don't make mountains out of molehills. It's something that can happen very easily when you spend too much time thinking about what seems to be negative things around you, and it can be very destructive. Try to laugh off the small irritations. Don't let these little bumps in your life's experiences, those molehills, grow into something bigger and more oppressive. Oh boy. I said last week that today we'd talk some more about culture fatigue, and already we're running out of time for today. So next week, culture shock, culture stress, and culture fatigue.
This feature is a presentation of Member Care Media. Thanks for taking the time to listen. We invite you to check out our website further. We offer audio features and resources to help you in your work and daily life. In addition, we have links to other helpful websites that will be an encouragement to you and your family. This is a copyright production of Member Care Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.